All right, we have 29 people present, despite the fact that Arlene marked that she was not here this morning. She's already at the picnic, apparently. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Terry Johnson, could you come forward?
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have an appointment for the 29th District County Board position, and my nomination is Monica Cruz.
Is there a second? Seconded by Don Meyer. Discussion.
I'd just like to mention a couple things. As I said at the beginning of the deliberations after the interviews a couple days ago, I never cease to be amazed at the quality of applicants that we get for these positions. There are a lot of good people out there who are interested in local government, and I think that's a credit to not just the county board, but a credit to our community as a whole. It was not an easy choice. It was something where each candidate brought different qualities to this particular position, we talked, I believe, for pretty close to an hour before we wrapped things up. I think it really is a reflection upon the quality of people who've applied. Any one of them could have walked into this position and done a really good job. I ended up selecting Monica Cruz for a number of reasons. She brings some interesting background, something I've known Monica a little bit over the years, but I'd never known that she had been born in Germany and lived the first 13 years there? 14 years there. So she told us that she is not using this as a stepping stone to the presidency because she wouldn't be eligible, not having been born in this country. But she has a long history of activity in a lot of different forums, in many respects related to education. But one of the things she mentioned to us that I really liked, and other people commented on, is her interest in this idea of consensus bargaining, and not so much that she would be involved in collective bargaining here, but I like the word consensus, because she told us how that is everybody wins, and that really is her philosophy in terms of how she would approach things. And that's very similar to how I believe it. We shouldn't have winners and losers. We should certainly have debate. We should have discussion. But at the end of the day, we should always try to figure out what is best for our community, not necessarily best for a particular philosophy or person or part of the county or whatever the case may be. And the fact that she just has a wonderful background in education led me to make this appointment. And so I would ask for your consideration. Thank you.
Other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously. Welcome, Monica Cruz.
Judge Levine will swear her in, so Monica, you and the judge can come forward.
All right, I won't mess this up like I did last time, sorry.
I'll try not to either.
Okay, Justice Roberts.
Yeah. Oh, I love my friends anyway. Raise your right hand. I'm Monica Cruz.
I'm Monica Cruz.
Having been appointed to the office of County Board of Supervisors.
Having been appointed to the office of County Board of Supervisors.
District 29.
District 29.
Affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin.
And the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin.
And will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of said office.
And will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of said office.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you get a sign right here? Yep.
Okay.
Sign this. There you go, you're official.
Well, thank you all very much for the faith you've placed in me, and I'll endeavor to earn it. Thank you.
Congratulations again. Thank you, Judge.
You're welcome. You run this traffic court.
All right. All right. Next on the agenda, and I'd ask Charlie Handy to come forward. Those of you who have been around here for a long time will recall the days when the Farm Service Agency was in this building, and the director of that, Ben Bossert, is familiar to many of us, or I should say was familiar to many of us, and then they ended up moving out of this building and up to Onalaska, I think is where they're at right now. Even though Ben was not a county employee, he worked very closely with our departments and very closely with many of us. And we didn't want him to retire thinking that we didn't have a great appreciation. Now, unfortunately, he was not able to be here today, but accepting on his behalf is Charlie Handy. And I'm going to ask Charlie to also make a couple of comments, because I know Charlie's worked with Ben a lot over the years. So this is in our appreciation for Ben's work on behalf of all the citizens of La Crosse County. Charlie?
If you remember at all, the Conservation Department was just across the hallway when I first started and worked for Don Franke, and the Farm Service Agency, which at that time was called ASCS, was just next door, and then the NRCS was with them. Both of those agencies are federal agencies, and the thing that was really nice is if you were a landowner in La Crosse County and you had conservation issues, you came down and you met with a staff person from those offices, you really couldn't tell the difference between a county employee or a federal employee. Everybody worked together to try and get the conservation practices on your farm that you needed, and that was a real nice relationship. The partnership that we've built over the years with the Farm Service Agency, ASCS, NRCS, goes beyond professional. There was a lot of personal relationships that were built and good friendships, and Ben was certainly one of those. What I'd like to speak to is his commitment to conservation and to the effort of improving the conservation on the ground in La Crosse County, making sure that contour strips were put in and conservation practices were built appropriately, et cetera, and providing some funding to the farm community when they needed it in their industry. Ben was so committed. He was also president of the state union, Farm Service Agency Union, and also became then president of the national union for those employees, which meant a significant commitment of his personal time to go to Washington, D.C. and other areas to promote conservation and those employees that worked hard in it. So this certificate of appreciation, I think, is very appropriate for Ben's service over the years, and we're all actually very happy for him that he's able to retire. That's a good thing. We're all looking forward to that at some point, right? So certificate of appreciation to Ben Bossert.
Thank you, Charlie. All right, I have a couple more things on the list here for the chair's report. One is not listed, but I want to remind people, the collaboration conference is tomorrow morning. If you've not registered for it, don't worry. Show up anyway if you're able to attend. We'll get you in there. Not a problem. It's across the street at the new Lunda Center, and the agenda goes throughout the morning, and we'll have you out of there before the end of the morning is the intent. So if you're able to attend tomorrow, please be there. Next, WCA conference is, of course, here in La Crosse. A number of county board people have already signed up for that. The regular registration is over, but we can get people in for late registration at this point. It's going to cost, not us, cost you, if you're interested in signing up late, $60, but they can still get you in if you're willing to or if you're interested in attending the Wisconsin Counties Association conference. I think, Monica, if you'd be able to attend, we wouldn't make you pay the late fee since it's not your fault. But anybody else, if you're interested, just please let Linda know as soon as possible to get on the list there. All right, supervisor conference reports. Anybody have any? Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I put a handout on everyone's desk entitled Weight of the Nation, and this was a conference I went to in Washington, D.C. at the end of July. Incidentally, not the best time to be in Washington, D.C., but oh well. And it was all about obesity prevention and control. And you remember I brought one time the CDC map of the United States, and it showed over the last three decades how in different states people have gotten heavier and heavier. and they have to keep coming up with new colors because every few years a state exceeds their overweight from the year before. So anyway, this is a new effort, and I see the whole public health field shifting their emphasis away from tobacco, because I think we've pretty well broken the back of big tobacco, and the emphasis is now shifting to obesity. So I've got some statistics there about just how big the problem is, how big, get that?
Ooh.
Including some economic things. So it's, you know, there are health care reform impacts of obesity that you need to start thinking about too. And the speakers, these people are like rock stars to me. I was so excited. You know, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Bill Clinton. Oh, God, the new director of the CDC, he was awesome. So he's from New York City. He did all this great stuff in New York City. Now he's in Atlanta, and he's your typical New Yorker. Talks fast, walks fast, works fast. And in Atlanta, they don't do that. So they're very frustrated with him. So it was just a riot. It was a fabulous conference. And a couple of the highlights to think about are schools in children. This is where we're going to win the fight, is if we can work on children. And I listed a few things there that are different about schools today, and those are worth taking a look at and thinking about. And if you haven't been in a public school lately, go have a look, because it's really changed, and that there are serious effects on obesity by what children are eating and doing at school. On the back, some recommended solutions, and these are things that are going on all around the United States, and they're working in various locations. So these are the things you're going to start hearing more about, and they're listed out there. All of these things have been shown so far, where they've been implemented, to have a major impact on better health. And then some of the efforts we're doing in La Crosse County, and I've listed all of those, and I hope I didn't forget too much. But what struck me mostly was the parallels to our fight against tobacco use, whereas the emphasis is on youth and prevention, and raising taxes to diminish consumption is a very effective tool, and regulations and laws can be useful to at least educate consumers about what really is going into our food and what the food industry is doing to help make us more obese. So it's not just, you know, my lack of willpower when I go into a restaurant that's contributing to my obesity. Incidentally, I've lost 53 pounds, so I'm doing my bit.
All right.
But we need to recognize that there are other forces at work that are societal forces, and we need to start tackling those, and there are lots of places where public policy can help. And just to give you some perspective, remember when McDonald's first started, they had two things, a hamburger and a cheeseburger. Those are now not listed on the menu except under the children's section. That used to be all you could get, and that was fine. We were okay with that, a hamburger and a cheeseburger. Now we need like 6 pounds of meat and special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, sesame seed bun. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. That was a very informative report, and thank you for your confession as a health wonk groupie. Never met that type of person before, but other reports. Don Bina.
I don't have a lot of reports, but we do belong to the State Association for RC&Ds, and the State Association is having a raffle drawing for 2-packer tickets for November 15th against the Cowboys. I do have some tickets if you're interested. The money will go for conservation throughout the state of Wisconsin, land conservation mostly, and so if you're interested, I have some tickets here.
And are you going to be able to...
$2 a piece or $3 for $5.
Are you going to be at the picnic?
I will.
So people could buy them there also?
I'll be there.
Yeah. All righty. Sounds good. Other reports? Anybody? Arlene?
Thank you, Chairman. I have a report on the Wisconsin County Highway Association. I was in Wausau on Monday, and just in brief, we are two... This is a transportation. $2 billion shortfall. there are going to be significant cuts, 30% across the board, and we will be receiving our stimulus dollars by November. And that's one of my reports. Another one of my reports is I'm sure everybody did get a card on the New Horizon, and they had a open house, which I did go to and never have been there before. I talked with Ann, the director. I took a tour, and they have almost new clothes for women to wear while returning for a job. They have kind of a little room where they had new colors and coloring books for children and many other items, which is a no charge to persons who have been affected by domestic violence. And that office is 1223 Main Street. And so if you get a chance, I would suggest any board member to stop and tour that location. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other reports?
Well, I'm not finished yet, Steve. I should probably tell
sorry.
You four reports.
I've oh, four reports. I'm
given
sorry.
Two. I'm going on my third.
All right.
Okay.
I'll be quiet for now.
Thank you. just a few things on WCA. I have Marion as co-chair and Jerry also, that we have like the bus trip, the lunch tickets, we have the booths. I've called everybody and they're going to work 2 hours, something like that, for the conference. I also am in the process of picking up some door prizes from La Crosse County, which would be approximately close to $300 for sure at no charge to the county. It's who you know. All right. And also, Jay Johnson, Jerry Sopranik, did not send in their registration because they figured they were going to the conference that they were already registered. I called Cheryl Fleck, and she said that she would waive the $60 for each one. So, Jerry and Jay, you can thank me. Okay, one more. Let's see here. Where's all my notes? The picnic. I did call now and order a couple extra meals in case anyone would still like to come. Just let me know. And we have approximately 60 people that will be there. And so if you owe me, pay me here or at the picnic, or a couple people want to come, let me know. Thank you. That's all I have in my four reports, Steve.
Thank you very much. Any other reports? Okay. I guess that gets us to the county administrator report.
Okay, I have a proclamation that was passed on by the Health and Human Services Board, proclamation October 7th, Relative Caregivers Day. Whereas the mission of La Crosse County Family and Children's Section is to identify and respond to safety concerns and needs of children, families, and the community, utilizing family strengths and team process along with formal and informal supports to improve child, family, and community quality of life. And whereas there are over 100 families in La Crosse County working in partnership with the Family and Children's Section of La Crosse County Human Services in which a relative is caring for a child who has been abused, neglected, or abandoned. Whereas on October 7th, President Bush signed the Foster, and I had to look twice, signed the Foster and Connections Act with added provisions focused on increasing the placement of children in the child protection system with relatives, and whereas La Crosse County Family and Children's Section recognizes the benefits of children remaining connected to and learning their family traditions and the value of their families, and whereas La Crosse County Family and Children's Section needs to recognize the commitment, strength, and hopefulness of these families that give care to relative minor children, and whereas it is in the child's best interest to be placed within a supportive relative placement when needed, and it is most cost-effective for the county to support such placements, now therefore be it resolved, La Crosse County Board of Supervisors hereby proclaim October 7, 2009 as Relative Caregivers Day in La Crosse County.
Moved by Margaret Wood, second by Tammy Gameroth. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously. Cards and correspondence are on the board over there. No committee meetings during recess that I know of, so that gets us to appointments. Chair Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more report that was actually amended.
Oops, sorry about that.
There's only four slides, but I think it would be important to give you a little bit of. Are we logged in?
My computer locked up.
Well, we're waiting for that to come on.
Thank you,
Chair Johnson.
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have three appointments as listed on the agenda: Dirk Gasterlin for the Economic Development Fund, and Marilyn Pedretti and Brad Conkle for the Sustainable Lacrosse Commission. They'd make those nominations.
Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those appointments carry unanimously.
Thank you. All right, Steve.
This is a very abbreviated report, but I did want to share with you actually some positive news given the situation in the state and local and national economy. And specifically, I've got only four slides with this, if this will end up working. There we go. I don't know how many of you have looked at this. I know I was speaking with Supervisor Tara Johnson about the positive impact on equalized value, and I just wanted to clarify a few things. If you go out to the Department of Revenue website, you can actually see this map, but you'll notice the very dark red are the counties that have actually seen a growth in equalized value this year of about 1.9 to 4. The lighter color of course shows where the declines are. The two lightest colors are actually where the declines are in equalized value. So La Crosse County is actually one of the top 10 counties seeing, in essence, a stabilized equalized value rate or just a little bit of growth. The other things that I ended up getting into some of the details of analyzing this, and one of the positive parts is, while most values in most of your districts, you'll end up seeing home values pretty much stable or drop slightly, the majority of the increase that we've seen is actually equalized value from new construction coming online. So the actual numbers this year are an increase of about $190 million in value, and about $125 million of that is from new construction. So you can see about two-thirds of it is new construction that is still coming online from, obviously, the previous year. So, you know, we shouldn't get too excited about this, but I just wanted to point out that with the report that I did previously, where I was showing you what the 30-year history was, and the percentage increase at the bottom, for those of you that remember, I was predicting that in this year or in future years that we might see a decline in that area. My prediction was wrong, at least for this year. I'm still expecting that with the impact of the recession, we should end up not seeing much growth over the next several years, because it's always delayed by a year. Recall, they're always trying to react to what's actually happening in the marketplace. But what's very positive, of course, is we're experiencing with a better than average unemployment rate compared to most MSAs in the state, as well as this is showing what's happening in the marketplace for housing and commercial values. So it at least is moderating some of the impact. If that were to decline, it would have a much bigger impact on our tax rate. And just to remind you that as we enter into budget season, last year's rise of only 1% in the total equalized value caused that for the first time ever in the last several years since, 2001, that our tax rate went up. So what that means is that while equalized value is basically stable, if you have a 3% rise in tax levy, and of course we have the rest of the LEC payment coming online, we'll probably see an impact about 4 to 5% on your tax levy. You'll still have to wrestle with that and make policy decisions on that, but you'll be in that neighborhood. You will still see an additional rise in the tax rate, but not as much, because the equalized value is going up 2%. So it's going to moderate that, but again, we're going to unfortunately see the tax rate go up slightly unless you're able to eliminate major portions of budget in this whole process. So given the history and given the equalized value, it's a small glimmer of good news, and if the economy is able to pick up towards the end of this year and into next year, it may still moderate that, but I wouldn't get too excited, but I know at least one of the supervisors here, Mr. Spiker, monitors this quite closely. And I thought I'd share this with you. If folks want more details, I can obviously provide you more details on equalized value. Again, the biggest positive impact, of course, is that in City of Onalaska, the values are very strong. Elsewhere, it's pretty much stable, other than for the new construction. So, sliver of good news, and that's the length of my whole presentation tonight. So,
anybody have any questions for Mr. O'Malley? Okay,
thank you,
sir. That gets us to the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve by Roger Plesha, second by Jerry Sobranek? Any discussion or questions on the consent agenda? All in favor, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Planning, Resources, and Development. Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have item 9-8, petition number 1813, filed by Lee and Tracy Heath to rezone from Exclusive Agriculture District to Agriculture District A in the town of Barry. The committee voted 6-0 to approve this. I move for your approval.
Move the committee report, which is to approve, by Mr. Meyer, second by Mr. Bina. Any discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 10-8, petition 1815, James Fringy to rezone from Exclusive Agriculture District to Agriculture District A in the town of Hamilton. The committee voted 6-0 to approve this. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report.
To deny it. So I move for your approval to deny it.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to deny the application, seconded by Bob Kyle. Discussion on that one. All in favor of... Oh, Mr. Schrader?
Just a question. Now, this person, according to what I see here, still owns this land. Is that correct?
Correct.
And he wanted to sell one of the houses to build a new house for himself?
He's already sold one from the original farmstead, and he can build a second house without rezoning. So we just said, we'll just build it. Leave the zoning like it is.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions or discussion? Okay. All in favor of denying the petition, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Oh. One no. Mr. Paff. That carries. All right.
Item 11-8, that's petition 1816, and it's not in the sequence of our public hearing, because it was handled at our business meeting, so you'll have to look in those minutes to find what it said. Petition 1816, filed by Bruce Stumman to rezone from Exclusive Agriculture District to Agriculture District A in the town of Farmington. The committee voted to approve this. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Montai. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 12-8, petition number 1817, filed by Joshua Johnson, acting in behalf of Kelly Johnson, to rezone from Exclusive Agriculture District to Agriculture District A in the town of Farmington. The committee voted to approve this, and I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Mr. Bina. Any discussion? Sharon Hampson.
This was a little confusing to read the minutes, but I think I read that the department recommended denial. Can I have, is that right?
Mr. Handy can address that.
Yes, that's accurate.
And can you tell us why you recommended denial?
The rezoning petition, the department staff felt was not consistent with the comprehensive plan, and that this landowner could build a single-family house on this property with the exclusive ag zoning.
Any further discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Let's do this one on the computer. If you are in favor of the rezoning, vote aye. If you are opposed, vote no. Happened. The petition is approved on a vote of 16 yes, 14 no, with one abstention. Next item, Mr. Meyer.
Item 13-8, petition number 1818, filed by Peter M. and Michelle Janish, acting in behalf of Bruce R. and Shirley D. Taylor to rezone Agricultural District A to Residential District A in the town of Campbell. The committee voted 6-0 to approve this. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve. Seconded by Mr. Schrader. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
item 14-8, petition 1820 by John R. Campbell to amend Commercial District B to conditional zoning from zoning petition 1417 in the town of Onalaska. The committee voted 6-0 to approve this. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve. Seconded by Bob Kyle. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, petition 1819 was delayed for 30 days, and this is the town, or the town of Onalaska has to meet first before we'll deal with it. So it'll be dealt with at our business meeting a week from Monday.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 15-8 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding authorization for Child Support Agency to receive American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funds. Whereas American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, also known as ARRA, also known as stimulus funds, temporarily reinstates federal matching funds on incentive payments to the state of Wisconsin to spend on the child support program, and whereas those payments may be used to draw additional federal matching dollars for the period of October 1, 2008 through September 30, 2010, and whereas the La Crosse County Child Support Agency may receive $47,059 in incentive money available for child support projects in 2009 and a 66% federal match on this incentive money, with increasing the total funding to $138,409, and whereas any unspent incentive funds may be rolled over into 2010, and whereas the ARRA incentive funds may only be spent on child support activities that are allowable under federal regulations, and the county may not use the funds to supplant other child support funding, and whereas it is in the best interest of La Crosse County for the Child Support Agency to receive ARRA incentive funds and thereby amend the 2009 budget to allow for the increased revenue and to authorize a corresponding increase in expenditures, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board authorizes the Child Support Agency to receive the ARRA incentive funds, that the 2009 budget is amended by the amount of the funds received, and that the Finance Department is directed to make such adjustments as are necessary in the Child Support Agency budget to reflect the revenue and expenditures resulting from the receipt of these funds. There be it further resolved that the Child Support Agency is authorized to hire a person for the position of Child Support Specialist commencing in September 2009 using ARRA funds to pay the salary and fringe benefits for the position of the remainder of 2009. The fiscal note is that the total ARRA funding for 2009 is anticipated to be $138,000. $138,409. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Any discussion or questions? Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Will this person that's being hired, will the person that they're replacing, will that be two positions then, or is that going to be one?
Bill?
Yeah.
Few of these questions I can probably answer. I also have Meg Torgerud, my director of child support here, so she can answer some of the more technical questions. But the issue that we have coming up in child support is we're anticipating two retirements in the department probably later in 2010. This is a unique position in the county in that we have to train the staff specialist entirely. They don't come out of school or any other place knowing the system, and so it's a very intensive education process that they have to go through training, and it takes a number of months. So we hope to get this person up and running and then fill a vacant position in 2010 caused by the retirement of some of our senior staff.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Sure.
So you're just filling a hole. There's not going to be another person hired other than for the short-term period.
For a short period, and we have the availability of using these funds through September of 2010. We may have to bridge a small gap if the retirements occur late in the calendar year.
Okay, my other question is, would this money be better spent actually using it on child support programs or whatever's going on there rather than hiring another person?
Well, the difficulty is we'd like to offset current tax levy, but we can't do that. That's prohibited by the federal regulation. So we have to look at other needs. We have one of the highest caseloads in the state in our child support agency, and our workers do a good job. But we can't drop in staffing and still handle the needs of the client. So there will be plenty of money to do other things. I mean, we're uncertain whether we can find new programs to spend all of the money that's available. But certainly, Meg will do the best to find those programs that will benefit the agency in the long term. So this is just one of the items that we're proposing. There's some other things that are listed in the fiscal note, but even with that, we won't utilize all the funds. So when we talked with Steve and Gary last week on the budget, we're in the process of having Meg determine what other uses can be made of these funds.
So then what would have happened if you wouldn't have received these funds or be speculating on receiving these funds? Would there have been another person hired?
Probably not, because we all know that that would have been 100%. Well, I'm sorry, not 100%, because there's still some cost sharing. But no, I doubt very much if Mr. O'Malley would have allowed us to hire another person totally, on the tax levy with the I think it's a 66 percent contribution. We get reimbursement from the federal government, but that still leaves a considerable amount. So this stimulus funding will help ease the tax burden on the county so we can get this person up and fully trained by the time the retirements occur.
Thank you.
Mr. Ebert?
Yeah, I guess I missed something. So this funding is for 3.5 months, so it gets us to January 2010?
It will continue. The stimulus funds is available. Actually, it started in 2008. It started in 2008. We'll continue through September of 2010. So we can transfer unused funds from 2009 to 2010. So we've been working with Mr. O'Malley and the budget staff about how to utilize those funds in both 2009 and 2010.
But the salary shown here is for the rest of calendar year 2009.
Correct.
And the money to pay for January 1st, 2010 through September, that will come out of this funding. It's just not listed here?
Right.
It'll be addressed.
That'll be addressed in the 2010 child support budget. This only amends, if you approve the resolution, the 2009 budget. We're just indicating that there's actually more funding than you're approving right now that will be dealt with in the 2010 budget.
Is it, or would it be possible in the future to just put that as a subnote to the fiscal thing, because it, so you can figure out, because, and I think Jeff, the same concern I had that he has, is that So we will not be using any levied money for this position in 2010 other than from September if the person other person doesn't retire. Is that
right,
correct?
And we'll have to address that in the 2010 budget. Right.
Thank you.
Joe Billings. Ralph Geary.
Bill, you said if we didn't have this stimulus money, we wouldn't have filled the position. Is that the way I understood
well,
that?
If we didn't have the stimulus money, I think what would have happened is that we wouldn't have been able to fill the position until the position was actually vacant. And the difficulty with that is if we have the two retirements as expected, we could be down two staff members. And you know, once a position is vacated, then there's a recruitment process, which could
right.
take a couple months, a training process, which could take 6 months. So we could be two staff members down for 6 to 9 months, potentially, before we were you know, able to recoup at least one staff position.
Okay.
So this
yep.
this gives us a jump start on planning for retirements in 2010.
So your plan is, when the stimulus money runs out, to be at the same level of staffing you are right now as of today?
Well, we'd like to be, but it, you know, theoretically we could be still one short, but you know, we don't have the physical space to ask for two positions, and you know, employees can change their mind. They do in this kind of economy, but we were pretty certain that one is going to, at least one out of the two is going to occur, and probably both. But so.
Any other questions? Jeff Schrader.
So then, if this person decides not to retire, there will be an added position.
Well, I mean, theoretically, that could occur. We don't anticipate that will occur. Then, you know, if that happens, I guess the potential would be there for a layoff. But we're not. You know, we think it'll only be an overlap for several months in 2010. Both staff members have indicated a desire to retire. They're of sufficient age and have sufficient years in the department, so they would be eligible. So, you know, again, we're trying to plan, because this is such a vital function in providing child support to families. And the, you know, if we're at the maximum case capacity right now with loss of staff and not having planned for it, we would have extreme difficulties in meeting the needs of clients.
Any other questions? Okay, we neglected this in preparing the agenda, but this does require two-thirds of the full board because it's not a budgeted item. So let's take a vote. If people are ready, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Passed unanimously.
Item 16-8 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of expansion of the Fit Families Program in the La Crosse County Health Department. Whereas the La Crosse County Health Department Fit Families Program for pre-K children has been identified as a successful model in preventing obesity among children, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the County Board Chair to sign a contract with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to expand the Fit Families Program for the amount of $330,000 and a related subcontract of $235,000 with the Children's Health Education Center upon approval of Corporation Council. Be it further resolved that the Health Department is hereby authorized to hire up to 0.875 limited-term employee nutrition educator funded by the revenue from the contract with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to implement the La Crosse County Health Department portion of this contract. The fiscal note is the contract will cover all costs associated with the services to be provided by the Health Department to accomplish the contract objectives. The estimated cost in salary and fringes for the LTE nutrition educator is $78,750 for the balance of 2009. The remainder of the funds will be utilized to cover indirect expenses, staff coordination, and other related expenses. Funds will come from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Children's Hospital of Milwaukee. No county levy dollars will be used. I move its approval, and after a second, would ask to yield the floor to Supervisor Hampson.
Moved by Chair Johnson, seconded by Sharon Hampson, and the rapidly diminishing Sharon Hampson.
Oh, stop. I'm still here. I'm getting weaker. I have actually two amendments to this. One is to change the term limited-term employee in the be it further resolved and in the fiscal note to sunset. And Bob Taun assures me he didn't just make that term up. It's something they use, which means that that person that's hired will only be employed until that pot of money runs out. And then, okay, I have a second one about the money. Should they be separated?
Your preference, however you want to do
well,
it.
Well, put them together because they're both about the same thing. In the fiscal note, following that LTE nutrition educator, you have the figure $78,750. That should be amended to $20,409, and that's for the balance of 2009. And the amount for 2010 is $69,562. So I guess that would need to be inserted after the date 2009.
The amendment made by Sharon Hampson, seconded by Tara Johnson. Any discussion on the amendment? Mr. Bina.
I guess that probably makes more sense than what I read in the original amendment, because the question I would have had is for the remainder of this year, we're paying the whoever $78,750. That's the way I read that, and that is one heck of a healthy salary, and I was going to ask what kind of degree that the person had to have for the remainder of this year.
We're all about health.
Now that makes sense to me, yeah. So I don't have any problem.
Okay.
But it should be a healthy salary because it's fit families,
so, yeah.
Don.
I mean, really.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. What is the difference between a limited-term employee and a sunset position?
Bob Taun is going to come in and tell us that.
Sorry to be term-heavy here, but the terminology does mean specific things for us. And the county board actually approved this in our personnel ordinances some years ago. A limited-term employee is for a very short period of time and has no benefits. A sunset position simply means that the position is going to end as soon as the funding ends. And those are regular positions, and they have full benefits as well. And in this case, there's more than enough money here. The position is going to be, you know, moderately long. It's going to go through next year in order to attract competent staff. We're probably going to need to offer benefits, and that's why this is more appropriately a sunset than a limited term. Limited term employee would be somebody who comes in for 6-week maternity leave or something like that.
Mr. Schrader, you still have the floor if you have questions.
Yeah, so then this person would be retained as long as there's funding through this program, but also then after that, then if it was funded through tax levy dollars, they would still be there. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. This is only funded as long as the position will only continue as long as the Fit Families program money comes in, and that's not tax levy dollars. So the position goes out of existence when the money goes.
You said funding, so I didn't know what that meant.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Let's see, we're on the amendment at this point. So all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Now we're on the resolution as amended. Any discussion on that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 17-8 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding acknowledging the best of public service. Whereas the following employees have been a faithful part in providing the best of public service to La Crosse County, including Constance Russell from Hillview Healthcare Center, 36-plus years. Patricia Mulrine from the Health Department, 26-plus years. David Anderson from Lakeview Health Center, 17-plus years. Shirley Stone from Lakeview Health Center, 14-plus years. And Brad Paff on the La Crosse County Board, 3-plus years. And whereas it is the wish of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors to acknowledge long and faithful service on behalf of the citizens of La Crosse County, now therefore be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in the La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Mr. Paff the Elder. Discussion. Last time I can say that now that his son's not on the board anymore. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson?
Yes, please.
Thank you. That gets us to Roger Plesha in Aging and Long-Term Care.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have 18-8 to the honorable members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding adoption of the 2010-2012 Strategic Plan for Lakeview Health Center. Whereas Lakeview Health Center mission statement provides in part a commitment to excellence in providing care and rehabilitation with respect to the dignity and rights of individuals who have special physical, developmental, and mental health needs to residents of La Crosse County and Western Wisconsin in cooperation with the health-related agencies. And whereas Lakeview Health Center has developed a 3-year strategic plan for Lakeview Health Center, including interim steps to be completed in 2009 in order to better position the organization for long-term viability. And whereas the strategic plan delineates goals and objectives in the following areas: revenue generation, the completion of certain phases of remodeling plan, the developmental of management reorganization, regional network development planning, identifying needs of target populations and working with care management organizations to reach agreements on enrollment and reimbursement issues. Whereas the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee has reviewed the 3-year 2010-2012 strategic plan and recommends its adoption to the La Crosse County Board, now therefore it be resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby adopt the 3-year 2010-2012 strategic plan for Lakeview Health Center. Fiscal note, the adoption of the strategic plan incurs no immediate cost to La Crosse County. However, the long-term financial viability of Lakeview will require significant capital investment and additional financial resources beyond the current level of La Crosse County tax levy support. I move for its approval.
Moved by Roger Plesha, second by Ray Ebert. Discussion. Mr. Ebert.
I guess I'd ask this to be referred for 30 days and ask them that the planning meeting that we get a presentation on this. This sounds like mega bucks, a huge thing, and I'm not ready to vote for it without seeing the plan. I don't know if that would meet with Chairman Plesha's thing, but it just doesn't make sense.
Do we need to take a vote on this today, or can people have a chance to review the? Because it kind of struck me as odd that the report wasn't in the packet.
I have no problem with referral.
Any objection to holding it over for 30 days? Seeing no objection, Mr. Mettinger?
Well, then he asked for
planning.
Are you going to do something at the policy meeting the next month, then, or what are you going to do?
I would appreciate that. That
sounds like what he asked.
If I might interject, the planning meeting got moved in September because of Labor Day, so to meet the letter of what you just moved, the 30 days wouldn't work. So we'd either do it at the regular county board meeting, which is September 17th, or the policy planning meeting got moved to September 21st. So whatever the pleasure of the board is, and we can certainly provide copies.
Chairman Plesha, would 60-day referral?
Or we could vote on it at policy planning after we've gotten the report.
Policy planning is probably not a bad idea. Then we can sit down.
Okay. So any objection to holding it over to policy planning and also then making that a voting day if people are ready to vote at that point? Any objection to that? Okay. That's what we'll do.
Thank you.
And we'll provide copies to the entire board then.
Mr. Geary.
When are we going to deal with that assisted living? Is that going to be updated at that time, or is that going to come in next year at some time?
It would be a line item within the Hillview budget, and we'll address that during that time, and you'll give us direction as part of the budgeting process. during budget process for the 2010 budget. It will not be acted on for the 2009 budget year.
Mr. Bina.
Just one other question in relation to this one. As I understand by reading the minutes and everything that we are given, the state has not approved us at Lakeview yet. Is that... Aren't we premature on doing all of this prior to us
Supervisor
getting
approval? No, Supervisor Bina, let me interject, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
We have received our license for MVHS to operate, and there are a number of longer-term issues involved with that, but no, we are licensed as of July 1st.
Then I don't have any problem with this one. Okay.
Any further discussion or questions? I guess we don't need a vote. Never mind. That's it for you, Mr. Plesha. All right. Health and Human Services Board, Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 19-8, urging state legislators to vote for tobacco-free families bill, whereas the recently passed Wisconsin 2009-2011 budget is expected to result in a reduction of $70,000 in the 2010 contract with the La Crosse County Health Department to prevent tobacco use, and whereas the Wisconsin budget also awards a $2 million fee increase to tobacco distributors for attaching the state tax stamp to cigarette packs with no related workload increase, whereas the Tobacco Families Bill, LRB 3045/1, would shift $1,200,000 from the proposed increase to tobacco distributors to tobacco prevention education for families, whereas this bill, if passed, could result in about $48,000 coming to La Crosse County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board strongly favors the passage of the Tobacco-Free Families Bill and urges State Senator Dan Kopanky and State Assembly Representatives Jennifer Schilling and Michael Hipsch to support and vote for the Tobacco-Free Families Bill. Further, be it resolved that the county clerk shall send a copy of this resolution to Governor Jim Doyle, Senator Kopanky, Representative Schilling, and Representative Hipsch. Fiscal note, there are no fiscal obligations for the county for this resolution. This bill now has an AB number, AB 381, rather than the legislative resources number. I move its approval.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, second by Jerry Sobranek. Any discussion? Ralph Geary.
In the middle of the resolution, it says shifting $1.2 million. Where is it getting shifted from?
Currently, the tobacco distributors are paid to affix a tax stamp onto every cigarette pack. When the tax on cigarettes was increased, they stayed at the same percentage of the tax to put the tax stamp on, but it's not any more work for them. So it would be shifted from that $2 million fee into tobacco prevention programs.
Any other questions or discussion? Mr. Ebert.
Yes. How much are we currently spending, and of that amount, for smoking cessation, and of that amount, how much is levy?
Doug Moorman will answer that question for us.
In 2009, there's about $130,000 in tobacco use prevention resources coming into the La Crosse County. There are no county tax levies funds associated with that. These funds come from this funding source as well as others.
And that includes, how many people do we have doing this?
About 1.5 full-time equivalents, approximately.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 20/8, agreement with NACO prescription discount card program. Whereas NACO has contracted with Caremark to provide a prescription discount card program for member counties to offer to their uninsured and underinsured residents, whereas the rising cost of prescription drugs coupled with a growing population of uninsured and underinsured residents has created a crisis in our country, whereas the NACO prescription discount card program includes the following benefits: no enrollment fee, no age requirement, no income requirement, no application forms, open to all county residents. whereas over 1,000 counties and more than 59,000 pharmacies are participating in this program nationwide with the average savings on prescriptions of 22%. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby authorizes the County Board Chair to sign an agreement with the NACO Prescription Discount Card Program upon approval of Corporation Council. Fiscal note, it's estimated that approximately 1 hour of health department staff per month will be required to administer the program. High-end estimate, $48.80 salary infringes an hour by 12 months, $585.60. I move its approval.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. I'm going to ask Steve O'Malley to explain this a little more in detail.
Yeah, actually, either Sharon or Doug, of course, could go into a lot more detail, but I was happy to participate in pulling together a work group of folks with input from Sharon and Doug and Dean Rupert, of course, in Human Services as well. This is an effort that NACO has been doing nationwide. As you can tell, over 1,000 counties are already doing this. 30 counties in the state of Wisconsin are already doing it. And it's a way for the public to access a higher level of discount at virtually all major pharmacies and end up realizing quite a bit of savings. So it ends up being a way for making folks that may not have great prescription coverage or maybe not even having insurance coverage actually access this discount program that has been quite successful nationwide. It's one of the examples of something that NACO is doing for us nationally as county members. Sharon Hampson has urged us to do this for a couple of years now, and we finally did the follow-through to make sure that it would happen. In addition to that, they're also leading the charge potentially on a similar type of program with dental care. So we hope to monitor that as well and see if that's able to finally bear fruit for some of the efforts that the Health and Human Services Board wanted to do. We'll end up doing with the outreach, the distribution to pharmacies, as well as some public outreach to help promote this, and that's what the resources of the Health Department will follow through on. I know both Doug and, of course, Sharon can elaborate more than I just did on some of the details.
Doug or Sharon, anything to add?
No. There are several discount drug programs available, some of which we already use in the county in income maintenance and economic support. We looked at several different discount programs. They all yield some savings, but this seemed to be the biggest one, and it seems to be very successful. So it's no loss to us, and it's a gain to people in the community.
Doug, anything to add? Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the outreach that you referred to, Mr. O'Malley, is Lindsay part of that, the health department employee who does the outreach to homeless population? And is that the staff?
Yes.
So it's additional time for her doing that outreach?
We're working with the Human Services Department, which provides some of the funding right. for that position. We've agreed with them and with Lindsay and to adjust the work plan in order to accommodate this. Yes.
And we'll use normal, like St. Clair and other places sure. where we're encountering those people already?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, why is there any expense into it? I agree with the thing completely. And then you've got the $585 on there. You've already got those people hired, so how do you have a fiscal impact on this? Will it be additional overtime hours, or is it already in there?
No, it's already. What we'll do is utilize existing staff and adjust their work plan in order to accommodate this. So there would not be, there's no increase in the total amount of time involved by hired staff. But we wanted to give you an understanding of the amount of energy county employees, that you're asking county employees to spend to move this forward.
So what you're saying is there really is no additional charge to the county.
Correct.
So that's where I'm just
yes.
Wondering about the fiscal.
John Manninger.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how this works a little bit. If I'm 25 years old and living at the Salvation Army and I need a prescription, I come over here to the county and somebody says, take this card over to Walgreens and then they'll help you out at 22% off? Or?
You would go to Walgreens and Walgreens will have the card at Walgreens, and if you're the person coming in, you'll chat with the pharmacist, and the pharmacist will say, this can help reduce your costs if you use this card. And they can take the card at that time. We can also distribute it here at the health department, but frankly, the way it's going to work is where people are getting the drug medications that they need.
Okay, you've already seen a physician or somebody who can write a prescription, so you have a prescription.
Sure. Folks, for example, that go to the St. Clair Mission, which is what Tara mentioned, they might need medication, and they could use this in part to help cover that cost. Or you could have been to see a physician in an emergency room, and the physician says you need this. You hadn't been able to pay for it, but you need this in the past. You need this prescription, and you move it forward.
The other thing it says in here, it says there's no income requirement, so this isn't just for low-income people?
That's correct.
Well, why would we want to not do that? If I got $1 million, why are you giving me a discount?
This is part of a national program. Most folks that are covered by excellent health plans probably wouldn't access this. They're already covered by Innovient or elsewhere. This is a national program to help every citizen that is accessed through it to get better discounts on a national basis. So whether it be you or me or someone that's got a low income, this is for everyone. Actually, the lower income folks can access through economic support some programs that provide much better than discounts. They're actually free prescriptions. So this doesn't discount that. And folks that are working with economic support right now, that's why Dean Rupert and his staff was also involved in looking at this. There are other programs that people can access that are much better than this. This really kind of fits in between where, for the most part, it's middle-class folks that may have only catastrophic care but not prescription coverage, or people that have just lost their care and on COBRA and trying to support all that. This fits into the framework of people looking for discounts to be able to get prescriptions. It's probably less likely the homeless and more likely people that are kind of stuck in between financially.
Oh. This is like socialism or something? Or
I haven't made it to any of those town hall meetings, so I'm not going to comment.
Is Caremark, is they a reputable? I mean, I'm sure they are because NACO is but sometimes I get nervous when we do these NACO kind of things, but we're contracting with somebody, and so Caremark is okay?
Caremark is one of the largest prescription drug discount companies in the nation.
To follow up on Mr. Menninger's example, so if a person goes to Walgreens and has this card and gets a discount, who covers that discount? Does Walgreens reduce their price or somebody pay the difference?
My understanding is Caremark has got a contractual relationship with the pharmacy, and it's like group buying. They get it at a lower cost.
So what I want to clarify is Walgreens or ShopCo or whomever has an incentive, or at least not a disincentive, to tell people use this card?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay, all right. Have a couple more questions. Jeff Schrader, you are next, I think.
Thank you. Then is this open to illegal immigrants?
Anyone who asks for the card would have the opportunity to use the card. There's not much overhead, as you can tell, $500 worth of overhead associated with checking up. We're not going to be checking up on folks' income, and it's designed to not do that.
So they do not have to be a citizen of the United States to do this?
That's not actually up to us. That's up to each pharmacy. The pharmacy will handle it. All we'll do is distribute the cards and provide any kind of support needed. But a person will walk into the pharmacy, the pharmacist will talk to that person, whoever they are, and will give them this discount. They don't ask to see a passport or anything. It's just between the pharmacist and the person with a prescription in their hand. It's completely out of our hands as to who accesses it.
Ann Fisher.
So I assume the only way the public will know about these cards is if the pharmacist tells the person coming in, or how does the public know these cards are even available?
Very good question. The NACO has provided us with information that we can use for a press conference, for press releases. It would be part of, it will go into the 211 public information system. We'll be working with institutions of higher learning. There's a whole marketing effort associated with it, which for the most part is us picking up things that come from NACO, clarifying that it's supported by the La Crosse County, and so the amount of energy associated with it is relatively small. But it is pretty significant in terms of how the reach will go out.
Did I miss anybody? Did I get everybody that had their hand up? Monica Cruz.
Will pharmacies have the ability to opt out of this program? Do they voluntarily join?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
One final comment. If you're interested in more information, easily go on the NACO website. It's easy to find. It's the Prescription Drug Program. There's a short 5-minute video or 5-10-minute video that explains it more and has other testimonials from other counties across the country. So it again, is pretty well thought out, and actually we're one of the later adopters to follow other counties across the nation, which is unusual for us.
All right. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no?
No.
One no, Mr. Schrader. That passes. Is that it for you then, Ms. Hampson?
It is.
Vicki Burke, Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee. I understand that's being removed from the agenda. All right. One thing I want to mention to people, as I believe most people know or hopefully do, Mr. Rauch has resigned from the board for health reasons. We are doing interviews for that position immediately following executive committee on September 9th. So if you are interested and you are available, executive committee starts at, what are we doing, 3 o'clock these days? 3:30. So probably by 4:30 or so, I would think we would be starting the interviews. I find it really helpful when people show up at this last one 2 days ago. We had about a dozen county board supervisors there, and I really thought that was good. So make a note of that for your calendar if you are available. September 9th, Wednesday, about 4:30. Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We normally have on our desks the lovely schedule for the following month of board meetings. Were they placed on desks this time? I don't see mine. Because I think the September schedule is very different. Does anybody in the room know what that schedule is? And can we just say it out loud now so that we all remember that things have been moved around as a result of Labor Day and other matters?
I apologize. It was a mix-up in our office. And we will do our best to get this out to you. But obviously with September 7th being Labor Day, Aging and Long-Term Care Committee is on the 8th at 9 o'clock. Judiciary and Law is at 2:30. LEC Construction Committee will not be rescheduled. It is at 4. We will have a meeting. And 6:30 is Health and Human Services as originally scheduled that evening. Executive, as the chairman just mentioned, is 3:30 on Wednesday the 9th.
And the policy meeting is moved to the 21st?
The 21st, which is a Monday. It's the third Monday, and your regularly scheduled county board meeting has not changed.
Thank you.
And I think Public Works is on Thursday the 10th?
Oh, excuse me. Thank you.
At 4 o'clock?
Yes.
That'll be sent out, Mr. O'Malley?
Yes.
Yeah, thank
I'll
you.
Follow through. Supervisor Friedland's got her hand up.
Mr. Maureen Friedland.
A couple people over here I heard asking why was the LEC matter going to the next meeting, and it was on the addendum that came out. I think maybe some people didn't see the addendum. It's going to go back to the LEC committee, and the LEC committee didn't meet this last month. So there's some matters to discuss there, and that's the reason why it's not on the schedule for today, and it'll be for next month.
That's right. It should not have been listed on this agenda. My understanding was when it was held over, it was to go back to LEC for clarification and direction and miscommunication between myself and the county clerk. It should not have been on the agenda. That's why it was removed.
Anybody else? Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Am I to understand that we're combining the executive committee and the interviews for Mr. Rauch's replacement on the 9th?
I wouldn't say combining. The interviews will follow executive.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're on executive, you're welcome to stay, but you don't have any obligation to stay. Anybody who's on the county board is welcome to attend and participate in the interviews.
Okay.
So approximately 4:30 on Wednesday the 9th.
Okay, so 4:30 is when the interview portion starts.
Executive starts at 3:30. You're, of course, welcome to come for that,
thank you,
too. So. Anybody else? Any other questions, comments, announcements? Mr. Ebert.
Yes, what will the procedure be for selecting the second vice chair?
We will need to put that on the agenda for next month. That's a vote of the board. So thank you for raising that one. Any other discussion or items announcements? Okay, my understanding from Mr. Sobranek is that the food is coming to the picnic at noon, so that gives people plenty of time to get out there. And again, if you have not gotten a ticket yet, you're still welcome to attend, and we've got some room for you. So just go on out there, and you can pay Arlene when you get out there. Anybody else have anything? Mr. Menninger?
What happened to that item of that vacant lot at 1728 Salem Road?
The city voted that down, didn't they?
No.
No? Mr. Spiker?
Chuck would the committee turned down the proposal on a 4-2 vote. Then there was a motion made to get an appraisal done of it, and then put in the paper for advertising. And Mr. Sparopoulos said it would take approximately 5 weeks or more.
Yeah, they're working on the appraisal, and they will get that done, and it will come back. Any action will come back through Public Works Committee.
Okay. I just went up there and looked at it, and I think we probably all got that letter. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. But I was just a little confused because the address is 1722. The next one is 1732. There's two houses there, and then like the next one would have to be 1728. So it didn't work in my brain. But I think I know where it was. But if anybody's actually looked at it, it didn't. Yeah, we got a letter to block a purchase of a vacant lot at 1728 Salem Road. It would be up in the first ward.
A lot of people did not get that letter.
Maybe just the city supervisors. I don't know. Oh.
Guess you're special, John.
And the addresses didn't seem to jive, so I was just a little confused of where we were in that, but thanks,
okay.
Mr. Spiker.
Mr. Spiker.
One thing that the board should know, by turning down the offer from the city, then we had to go to appraisals. We cannot accept less than what the appraisal value is when they bid it.
Okay. First time around. But if we don't get anything first time around, we could then redo it. Okay. All right. Anybody have any other announcements or anything? Is there a motion to adjourn by Mr. Kyle? Second by Jerry Sobranek. All in favor say aye. Opposed no. Carried unanimously. Hope to see all or at least most of you out at the picnic.